Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 17. The name of the message is Christ glorified in his people. Christ glorified in his people. Tonight we'll continue our study in John chapter 17. Again, it's been a wonderful study. And it's the Lord's high priestly prayer. And we'll continue in the second part of this prayer where our Lord is praying for the disciples. But as we've seen throughout this high priestly prayer, he's praying not only in the sections. The first sections he's praying for himself, but he's also praying for his people. In the second section, he's praying for the disciples, but he's also praying for all his people, all the elect of all the ages. And then in the third part, of course, the third section, because this prayer is divided into three portions, verses 1 to 5, where our great king is praying for himself before God the Father. But again, he also prays for his people then. Second section being verses 6 to 19, where our Lord is praying for the disciples, but also for all the elect of all the ages. And finally, the final section, the third and final section of this prayer, in verses 20 to 26, where our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is praying for all the elect of all the ages. And it's wonderful to think that 2,000 years ago, and to know from Scripture that 2,000 years ago, Christ was praying for his people. And every one of God's people can say, he was praying for me. He is praying for me. He loves me so much. A love that I can't even understand, and unending, eternal love that he has for his people. That here right before his death, he's praying for those whom he's going to redeem with his precious, precious blood. I'll tell you what, greater love hath no man than this, and the man laid down his life for his friends. And here Christ is going to lay down his life for his friends, for his people. Let's read verses 6 to 12. Chapter 6 is where this second part starts. It goes all the way to verse 19, but we're going to just read to verse 12 tonight to get the context of the verses that we're going to be looking at tonight. It says, I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. They've kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. So Christ is praying to the Father and saying, the words that you gave me, I gave to them. I gave to them. Remember, Christ is sent. He's the eternal Son of God. So he was sent by God to earth to save his people from their sins. And he's also sent, we see here, to give unto God's people the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Again, we've seen through this study, Christ is the sent one. He's sent by God. And he says this in verse 9, which we looked at last week. I pray for them. So he's praying for those who the Father gave him. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And in tonight's verse is verse 10. We're going to be looking at 9 again too as well. But verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. My, oh my. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. See, now he's speaking about his disciples. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Oh, what a title. Holy Father. Keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Look who did the keeping. Did they keep themselves? They didn't keep themselves, did they? They were kept by God. See, we've been kept by God forever, haven't we? We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We didn't deserve that. But even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he was keeping us, beloved. He was keeping us. Look at that. I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And there he's speaking of Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition. Remember he said, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil. Now ponder this, beloved of God. We who are the people of God are a group of people chosen out of this world. Chosen out of this world in Christ in eternity. Now, when we were born, we had no idea about that truth, did we? When we were living our lives in sin, we had no idea about that truth, did we? When we grew up and got in our 20s, 30s, for me it was my 30s, I had no idea who Christ was. I had no idea that God the Father had chosen me in Christ before the foundation of the world. As a matter of fact, you couldn't tell the difference between myself and a goat. One for whom God has not chosen. You could not tell the difference. I was just as ruinous as them. And I'm still a sinner, but I'm saved by grace now. Praise God. He saved me from my sins. So ponder this. We were a people chosen in Christ in eternity. We had no idea. And we were rebels in our natural state. We were enemies with God in our minds in our natural state. That's not my opinion. That's what the scripture says. Right? And I know for myself, I might not have said that I was an enemy with God verbally, but I sure did by my actions and by my sinfulness. Because I did whatever I wanted. It was all about me. See, that's the difference between a saved person and a lost person. It's no longer all about me, is it? When you're saved, it's all about Him. Remember what we looked at in Galatians? I love that, how Paul brought in practical Christianity to us on Sunday when we looked at Galatians chapter 2 this week, and how he said, we now live our lives for Christ. We used to live our lives for self, didn't we? Now we live our lives for Christ. Now, do we still have our sinful tendencies? Of course. We're still sinners, but we're saved by grace, right? Can people still look at us and say, well, they're still a sinner, yeah, but I am not the same person in here. I'm a new creature in Christ now. My desires and my thoughts are not the same as they used to be by the grace of God. So now, rebels who have sinned against God, right? Turn, if you would, to Genesis 39. Do you know that when we sin, first and foremost, we sin against God? Even if we sin against someone else, we're sinning against God first and foremost. I never knew that in my natural state. I didn't even care about that in my natural state. But now, it makes me mourn. I thank God. I'll tell you what. I thank God He forgave me all my sins. Because my sins were against Him. And think of this. The very one I sinned against came down and saved my soul. Now that's a wonder of wonders, isn't it? That's a wonder. That's amazing. That's why John Newton said, this is amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Oh my, it's wonderful. Look at this in Genesis chapter 39. So first and foremost, we sin against God when we sin, against His holy law. Look at this in Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 to 10. And this is a clear example brought forth in Scripture of who our sin is against, first and foremost. Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 to 10. This is about Potiphar's wife and Joseph. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, again, all by the providence of God, right? And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites. So he was a slave in the hands of the Ishmaelites. Remember, his brothers had sold him to the Ishmaelites, and he was a slave. And somebody might say, well, boy, that was real lucky that he was bought by Potiphar. No, it wasn't luck at all. It was by God's providence. God preserves his people through the midst of the various trials we go through. And he uses the circumstances to teach us, doesn't he? When we're going through a circumstance that we can't understand, you know what we should ask ourselves? What's God trying to teach me here? I know that when I get worked up about the news and all that, you know what God's teaching me? I need to rest in his sovereignty. That's what I need to do. And that's a lesson he's continuously teaching me. Is it you? He's teaching me that all the time. Just rest in me, Wayne. I'm in control. It's okay. It's okay. Oh, my. Look at this. And the Lord was with Joseph. See, the Lord's with his people, isn't he? He's with us before he saves us. And then he's with us even after he saves us. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Look at this. The Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord, all three of those words, Lord is Jehovah in the Hebrew. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hands. And look at this. And Joseph found grace in his sight. He found so much grace in the sight of Potiphar. Now, who have we found grace in the eyes of? Christ. God. Look at this. He found grace in Potiphar's sight, and he served him. And he made him an overseer. He was in full control over everyone in that household. Except, of course, Potiphar and his wife and their children. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had, that Jehovah blessed the Egyptian's house for Jacob's sake. And the blessing of Jehovah was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had. He didn't even know how much he had. He just put it all in Joseph's hands. All of it. Do you know God has put everything in Christ's hands? All of it. The world, our salvation, all his people, all that he gave to Christ, they're all in his hands. Remember, he has all power, doesn't he? Christ has all power over all flesh. Everything's being given to him. We're all under his control. My, oh, my. He put everything that he had in Joseph's hands. And he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. All he knew is there was bread appearing at his table, and he just kept eating. And Potiphar was being blessed by God because he had put David in such a high state. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. His fields were bearing more than other folks just because he was taking care of Joseph. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. She said, come sleep with me. Come lie with me. But he refused. Joseph said, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater than in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. You're his, and only his, because thou art his wife. Now look at this. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He doesn't even mention Potiphar, does he? See, when we sin against God. first and foremost. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. He just kept saying, no, he fled. He fled. Finally, he fled, and she took his garment off, and then she accused him of lying with, trying to take advantage of her, which was a lie. But the God used that too, didn't he? Then he ended up in the prison, and then he ended up in charge of the whole prison. And there he met the baker and the butler, remember? Oh, my. And then when the butler was put back up into his place, he remembered David. David said, all I ask is just remember me when you're before Pharaoh. And he did, didn't he? And Pharaoh had that dream. No one can interpret it. And the butler said, I remember somebody. I remember somebody who interpreted a dream. Well, I was in prison. And Joseph ended up becoming prime minister of all of Egypt by the will of God. So it's God we've sinned against. But by his mercy and by his grace, he saves we who are undeserving rebels. See, I don't deserve grace. I deserve hell. I don't deserve grace. I don't deserve mercy. But God's given me that in Christ. You know why? Because it pleased him to do so. It pleased him to do so. And he did it all for his glory. Let's go back to John chapter 17. We'll read verses 9 and 10 together. They go together. And take note again of the personal pronouns that are brought forth. I love this. Christ is going to tell we who are his people that we're his. And not only are we his, we're the Father's. He's going to bring this forth. Now, how long have we been the Father's? From eternity. Did we know it? I had no clue. Did you? Is it marvelous? Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, it's incredible. That God would have mercy. What mercy? What mercy? That he has mercy on those who are enemies in their mind toward him, shaking their fist at him, saying, I'll not have this man rule over me. That's what I was doing before the Lord saved me by my actions and my sinfulness. I was saying, I don't want you to rule over me, Lord. Now I say, Lord, you have full control in my life. You rule over me however you please to, Lord. You do whatever you want, Lord. You get all the glory and honor and praise. Because everything you do, Lord, is good. Right? Everything. Everything he does is good. My, oh my. So take note of these personal pronouns. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He's saying, those you give me are yours. Remember I used Dave as an example last week of your daughters? They're still your daughters. Even though three of them are married, they're still your daughters. They're still your, even though Christ, the Father gave us to Christ, we're still the Father's. And we're Christ's too. Because look what he says in the next verse. And all mine are thine. And thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. Christ here prays for those whom the Father gave him in eternity. He says, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So marvel at this. Turn now to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Marvel at this fact that we have right here before us. We are, by the Father's choice, his. Now there was nothing in this. God didn't look down through time and say, well, Wayne was going to choose me, so I'm going to choose him. No, he looked down and said, look at that dead trespasses and sins guy. Look at him, he's absolutely dead. He got no hope. I'm going to save him. Oh, praise God. Praise God. See, election is wonderful. Not. Why did he not pass me over and choose my two brothers? Or choose somebody else out of my generation? Well, because it pleased him to choose me. My, I'm never going to get over that, beloved. And don't you ever get over it. It's incredible. And it doesn't make us puffed up, it makes us, puts us in the dirt, doesn't it? Because there's no reason why God chose me. In my mind, I can't find any reason. Can you? But it pleased him to do so. Oh, it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And Christ saved us because the Father gave us to him. Look at this union here. We can only understand this verse knowing the union between Christ and the Father. That they're both one. Right? The Father's God, Christ is God, the Holy Spirit's God. The three are one. They have a vital union between the three of them. But look at this. John chapter 6, start in verse 37. We're going to read to 45. All that the Father giveth me. That's the same ones right there that he's praying for in John 17, isn't it? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Why did we come to Christ? Because we were given to him by the Father. Because he redeemed us with his precious blood 2,000 years ago at Calvary's cross. That's the only reason we came to him. Otherwise, we never would have come to him. But by his grace and his mercy, he saved us. And look at this. And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. You ever had somebody in your life say, I don't want you in my life anymore? The pain that brings. The sorrow that brings. The heartbreak that brings. But Christ will never say that to his people. He says, unto him that cometh to me, on no wise cast. Come to Christ. He'll never cast you away. It don't matter how black your sin is. It don't matter what you've done. Come to Christ. He's never turned a sinner away. I'm proof of that. So are my dear brothers and sisters. They're proof of that too. He'll never turn away one who comes to him. And some people say, well, my sin, oh, my sin, oh, my sin. But it's all forgiven. Washed clean in the precious blood of Christ. Look at this now. Look at this. For I come down from heaven. Why? Because he was sent by the Father, right? He left heaven. He's telling us right here. For I come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Again, there's sent me again. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me again. That of all which he hath given me, that's who he's speaking of tonight in our passage, right? And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me. For of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. He'll never lose. If you trust Christ, he'll never toss you away. He'll never lose you. You're in his hands. He'll never forsake you. Other people in this life might have forsaken us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's got us in his grip. Oh, that's so comforting, isn't it? That's so comforting. I should lose nothing, but you'll raise it up again at the last day. You know, we're going to rise from the grave again. He told us right there, didn't he? We'll already be in heaven. Our souls will already be in heaven. But our bodies are going to rise up and we're going to receive our glorified bodies one day. And it's guaranteed. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread which come down from heaven. Now right before this, he had told them, I'm the bread alive. I'm the one who's come down from heaven. And he is the bread alive, isn't he? He's bread to a sinner's soul. He's life for the sinner. And then they say, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? See, they thought Joseph was his father. Little did they know he was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. Whose father and mother we know. We know Mary and Joseph. How does he say he comes down from heaven? They didn't have a clue who he was. There's God manifest in the flesh right there before them. God in the flesh speaking to them. And they had no clue who he was. No idea who he was. How is it that he saith, I come down from heaven? Well, because he's God. Now look at this, he can read their thoughts. Being God, he can read their thoughts, right? Look at this. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. They thought they're talking quietly. He's not going to hear us. How can he say? How can he say, I come down from heaven? Well, he don't even have to hear them. He can read their thoughts. And he says, what are you doing murmuring amongst yourself? Isn't it amazing how the Lord did that? We see that with the Pharisees. He's constantly just laying out what they're thinking and what they're saying. Jesus answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. Now here we go. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And what does he do? He draws us with loving cords, doesn't he? Loving cords. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Oh, he's so good. He's so merciful that he saved this sinner's soul. He's so merciful. My. I'll draw him. Except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the law and the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Every one of God's sheep shall be saved. Saved by Christ and Christ alone. They've been redeemed by the shedding of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. They've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, who is the great comforter of his people. And who sent the Holy Spirit of God? The Lord Jesus Christ sent him to be our comforter, to comfort us. You know how he comforts us, doesn't he? When he illuminates the scriptures for us and we see Christ and we rejoice. How joy just floods into our souls. And we'll also be kept by the power of God. We saw there that the Father keeps us. Christ keeps us, beloved. I know how I'm prone to wander, do you? Because we're sheep, right? What do sheep do? We've talked about many times. They just, oh, there's something. Oh, this looks really interesting over here. This looks real. What is this? This looks. Next thing you know, they're lost in the wilderness. And who comes and seeks them, though? The great shepherd. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He always comes. Even when we wander away, he comes back. And he doesn't. You know what he does? He picks us up. Gently puts us on his shoulders so that that little sheep can gaze at his face. And he just says to his neighbors, rejoice. The sheep that was lost, come have a feast with me. The sheep that was lost is now returned. He's saved. He's saved. Let's rejoice. Let us rejoice. Oh, it's wonderful. So all who Christ Jesus our Lord prayed for here shall be saved. Shall be saved. They shall be born again, they shall be kept, and then they will be received up into glory. They will. It's a fact. It's a fact. Why? For they are thine. Remember we just saw on Sunday about the sovereign controller? That's who keeps us. That's who has us in his grip. And I'll tell you, if he can keep all that we can't even see in place, it's not hard for him to keep you and I, is it? Not at all. Not at all. 2 Timothy 2:13 and 14 says this, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What's the belief of the truth? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe on Christ? Do you believe on him? Is he your Savior? Is he your all in all? Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's read verse 10 of John 17. And we see our Lord bring forth that not only are we the Father's possession, but we are also the Son's as well. He says this, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Look at these words. I'll read them again. All mine are thine, and thine are mine. Again, these words can only be understood when we understand that the Father and the Son are one in essence, one in ownership, one in purpose. We see that brought forth here in John chapter 5. Let's read verses 17 to 23. See, the Father's purpose is the Son's purpose. That which the Father owns, the Son owns. Right? He's God over all. The Son is God over all. The Holy Spirit is God over all. Look at this here in John chapter 5. We see this here brought forth, starting in verse 17. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hither, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Yep. He's God the Son, isn't he? Incarnate in the flesh. He is equal with God. They just don't know who he is. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do." Do you see how they're one? They're one in purpose, aren't they? "For whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." There's, again, one in purpose. One in purpose. "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." Is not salvation of sinners one of the greatest works that God has ever done? Every sinner who's saved will say, "Amen." Oh, it's wonders. Look at this in verse 21. "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." See? They're in perfect harmony, aren't they? Same purpose. Same purpose. "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed judgment unto the Son. Who will people stand before at that great day of judgment?" The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who they're going to stand before. You say, "I don't believe in Christ." You're going to see him one day. And he's either going to be your judge or your savior. Because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then look at how he brings it home here in verse 23. "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him." See, because they're one. If you don't honor the Father, then you don't honor the Son. If you don't honor the Son, then you don't honor the Father. They're one in purpose and one in essence. The great three in one. And Christ has always kept his people. And he still, even today, keeps his people. And you'll hear keep his people forever. We're going to be in glory forever with him. All because he keeps us, beloved. We'll be with him forever. We're going to be delivered. Think of this too. I was thinking this today as I was putting this together. I was thinking about this because we've been given to the Father, or we've been given by the Father to Christ, but you know we're going to be delivered into the Father's hands. Christ is going to present us to the Father, faultless. Faultless? I'm a sinner. He's going to present me faultless? Yes, he will. And if you're one of God's people, he's going to present you faultless too. Faultless. No sin. Without blame. Without blame. Well, how do we know that, Wayne? How do we know that that's true? Turn to Jude. Little book of Jude. Oh, it's a wonderful little book. Wonderful little book. Wonderful little book. And at the very end of Jude, and see here, look at this. Now this will make you shout as a believer. Oh my, this is wonderful. This is absolutely wonderful. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, in the Greek that's stumbling, and to present you what? What's that next word? Faultless. Christ is going to present sinners faultless? Faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now, both now and forever. How is he going to present us faultless before God the Father? Clothed in the perfect righteousness of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? We're in him. So if we're in him, the Father looks at us as in Christ. And he don't see our sin. Oh, that's wonderful news. I'll tell you what, that's just wonderful news. Look at the last part of verse 10 now. We're going to read verse 10 now. Now we're going to hit this part about being glorified. We're going to glorify Christ. You know we already do. You know, we as God's people, we already glorify Christ. And say, well, how do we know that? Well, let's look at this. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. See the word glorified there in our text. In the Greek, this word means to render esteem one as glorious. Is Christ glorious to you? Oh, he's glorious to us, isn't he? He's glorious to us. It also means, and that's glorious, is in a wide application. Wide application. It also means to ascribe glory and honor and praise. What do we ascribe to Christ? Glory, honor, praise. We do that right now, don't we? And marvel at this great change. Those who were rebels by nature are made now to glorify and honor and praise the very one they sinned against. That's a miracle of grace. That's an absolute miracle, beloved. And it's all, we give God all the glory, don't we? We give him all the glory. In all the honor for saving our souls. And the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified in that. He's glorified in our praise and in us giving him all honor and attributing all of our salvation to him. He's glorified in that, beloved. And he's glorified in the fact that our redemption is all in him. And you know what? We're not doing anything different while we're here on this earth that we won't be doing in heaven as far as glorifying him. Turn, if you would, Revelation chapter 5. Beautiful portion of scripture. Revelation chapter 5. Do you know that we will be glorifying God for what he's done for us in eternity? You know, this is just like practice for glory, isn't it? Oh, my. But then we're going to glorify him without sin. We're going to praise him without sin. Look at this. I love this portion. I love all the Bible. The certain part, you know, and you hear me always say, I love this portion. I love them all. I can't say I don't. Look at this. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. And they sang a new song. Who's the one singing a new song? Who's the ones here singing a new song? The saints of glory, amen. Because we're going to see that. The ones that are singing this are the ones who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And they sang a new song. See, we never used to sing this song. I didn't sing this song before the Lord saved me. Did you? Let's see the song. And I guarantee you, we didn't sing this song before the Lord saved us. And they sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain at Calvary's cross, right? And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every what? kindred and tongue and people and nation. We are going to be a multitude that no man can number, out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation of this world. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. That's a number you can't number. That's a lot. Oh my, saying with a loud voice, here we go. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And that Lamb there is the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. That's who that is. He's the Lamb. He's the one we're saying worthy to. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, what a blessing. I'll tell you. So he's glorified by his people here on earth. Right? And he's right now. He's glorified in eternity by his saints, by his blood-bought people. So we'll be doing the same thing without sin that we're doing here in glory. Oh, it'll be wonderful. And we'll be giving all the glory, honor, and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will be glorified now and throughout eternity. Paul speaks in Ephesians 1 of the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the redemption of the elect. And after each division, he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Read Ephesians chapter 1 and look for that. To the praise of the glory of his grace. My, oh my. God's born again, blood-washed people, we glorify Christ. He is the one who purchased us with his precious blood. As the fruit of his soul travail, by us glorifying them, we indicate the success of his redeeming work. He's a successful Savior, beloved. And we glorify him for it, don't we? God's born again, blood-washed people glorify Christ as trophies of his power, having been rescued from the power of sin and bought into his kingdom. They proclaim the all-conquering love of God in Christ. God's born again, blood-washed people glorify Christ as the creations of his grace, having been born again by the Holy Spirit of God and translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. All by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And God's born again, blood-washed people glorify Christ as subjects of his kingdom. We willingly subject ourselves to his sovereign rule, don't we? Willingly now. We used to shake our fists. Now we willingly. Oh, Lord, you're in control. You're in control. And we subject ourselves to his sovereign rule and power, and we proclaim the character of his rule. He's a great sovereign, but he's full of mercy, and he's full of grace. He's not a despot. He's so merciful to sinners. So merciful to sinners. And rejoice, beloved of God, as those whom the Father chose, the Son redeemed, and the Holy Spirit will call. And our Lord Jesus Christ proclaims in our text tonight, all mine are thine, and all in thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Praise his mighty name. Praise his mighty name. Brother Brian.